Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I know that many of you are used to me going on the air at 12 o'clock. However, today I did not go on at 12 for many different reasons. And partly is because I had some guests that I wanted to be on the air that wasn't going to be available until this evening. And because of that, we kind of pressed and started the show later. And also, that also allows many of you that work during the day to be able to call in and join in on this topic, as this is a very interesting and important topic for many of us for a lot of different reasons. So we're going to go on and get started with the show, because I see one of my callers is already on, and I forgot to get in touch with the other person. So let me send him a text message. Okay, so let me log her on. Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You know what, Crystal? All I can say is the devil is a liar. I clicked on this thing, and I'd be doggone if it didn't tell me that the show was going to be tomorrow. I had to redo things. I didn't have time to write things. I said, you know what? We're going to fix this, and we're going to fix it right now. So some of the links that I indicated, it basically had the right link, but the other ones were saying tomorrow. And I'm trying to give, let me give the other man a call, 516. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Because he's texting me now, asking me where do I call in at, after I had already provided that information. And I'm just like, I'm not going to be running around here like a chicken with my head cut off. This right here is just ridiculous. So I don't know how that happened, but it happened, but we got it fixed. So within this time, we're going to go on with the show. Now, when I put the information out, I was sharing some information, and I had it on the episode description as we're talking about, is justice really for all? Because when it comes to the criminal justice system, one must question, is justice really for all? This is a question that would vary from individual to individual based on their experience, race, culture, socioeconomic status. It is a pervasive notion in America that justice is blind, fairly administered, and equal to all. However, it has been documented and reported, and we all know, or many of us have experienced, as we say, that there is a lack of diversity among the nation's judicial, which is hindering fairness in the image of equality in the U.S. justice system. There is definitely a problem, as we are experiencing, with people of color. There are individuals that get arrested, go before the judge. However, the problem is, when these things happen, we wonder, do the judge focus on punishment, rehabilitation, or both? And then, what about the innocent, when there is no evidence or there's insufficient evidence? Many individuals have taken deals as they lack the knowledge of the system. Others have been found guilty when they were innocent. And others have been set free knowing that they committed the crime. And we also have problems when individuals have received a sentence that was lesser than what is given to an individual of color. So this line is blowing up. And I have Mr. Harvey online, too. Let me log him on. But I want you to join myself and a mother by the name of Crystal. I know I forgot your last name. What's your last name, Crystal? Chappelle? As she's fighting for justice for her son, and she's going to explain what is going on. Now, I do have callers on the line. I know you can hear me. So I'm going to click you guys on in a minute. But I'm going to first allow Crystal the opportunity to speak, and then I'm going to put Mr. Harvey on, too, who's going to help us. So I want to thank you for joining. As we know, there's unity in numbers, so we must unify, educate, vote, stand up against injustice within the criminal justice system. So Let me log Mr. Harvey on. Hey, Aaron, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm all right. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God, this has been crazy. But, okay, Crystal, we're going to let you start off with the show. Tell us what's going on.
First of all, thank you for having me, and hello to Aaron. I spoke with him a couple of weeks ago, and he gave me a lot of good information. However, my purpose of being on the show this evening is to bring awareness regarding my son's case and multiple, many other people. And I just really, for the injustice of so many young men, and I would like, my hopes are that I would get other people to come alongside of me or help support or guide me in a direction. This is unfamiliar territory. However, it's familiar because so many people that I know have experienced it, and but never to this degree that I know of the unjust and the wrongful conviction and to take a person's life or attempt to take a person's life and their freedom based on no evidence other than hearsay. Everything has been hearsay thus far. And my son is due. We've gone through the trial already. My son's name is Christopher Stone. He was arrested in February 2nd, 2017, for a crime that was committed in October of 2014. My son was scheduled to get off of parole in 2 weeks prior to this arrest. He went in to see his parole officer after getting off work, and they had 7 to 8 officers there. My son was taken to the 76th precinct in Los Angeles. We currently were living in the Inland Empire. We have moved out of Compton since he was 3 years old. However, he was taken to the 76th precinct. I went there for 4 days straight. They told me that they could not, I could not see my son. They allow visits at that particular precinct. They told me I could not see my son, that it was a special case. There was a detective by the name of Detective Hicks that was on the case, and I left numerous, over 50 phone calls, messages for him to get back with me to let me know what was going on. I finally got a call back from my son. He finally called. They allowed him to call. And he told me that they had him in there for a murder that took place in 2014. And my heart just sank because I know the pain and the agony that is associated once they get in there and they put these horrible charges on them. So I just knew that this was going to be a really, really tough struggle. However, I don't have a lot of money. We attempted to pay for an attorney, and we couldn't afford it, so we had to let him go. Then they gave us a state appointed, and here we are. We went through trial. They weren't able to put forth any concrete evidence. It was he did not fight for my son. He did not object to too much of anything. My son is scheduled to be sentenced this Thursday, the 26th, in Compton Court. However, we're fighting for him to get a new trial, appeal, and raise money to pay for a personal attorney. And so I just, I plead with any caller or listener, if you know any resources or any type of help in the communities that would help us or assist in this matter, please contact us. We have created a website for my son, for Justice for Stone, that has the information, a little bit about the case. My son has daughters family and so many people. He has tons of friends, and I really commend these young people that have stood with us and went to court and every single day. My family, you know, they really have rallied around us to push this thing. And so that's my hopes of being on. And Aaron, I thank you because I wish you really would talk about the penal code of the 182.5 that you talk about when in your story, so people can understand that as well.
Got you. And you know, Crystal, I commend you for coming on and holding your composure because, you know, we grew up right down the street from each other. I know there's an age difference between you and I, and you kind of hung out more with my sisters than you did me. So you really didn't know me as well as Sean and your mom did. And just like myself, when I had my son, I got out of Compton when my son was a year and a half old. And then when he started getting in trouble in the criminal justice system, I was having that same problem. But one of the things was by me studying law, going to school, educating myself, most of the times individuals didn't want to have to deal with me. So it was one of those things that when my son would get in trouble, even with his father, I didn't know if they was connecting him to a lot of things that his father had done. And it was just crazy because they told me my son was a documented gang member from Compton, and he was born in 85. Hell, I left old Compton in 86. So Eric can share some of that, but I want to say this. Believe it or not, many people who are convicted of a crime and end up in prison were falsely accused. And although the American criminal justice system works in most cases, not in all. Just when we think that things are right and we talk about the consequences, and then the problem is there are innocent people and people's family that can pay the price for what a person may not have done, especially when it comes to murder. So what is a person or their family to do? So if you do want to join in, and I know this phone is ringing off the hook and I want Aaron to speak, but I want to say to Aaron, I learned as I was doing this and from getting this information, in California alone, there are more than 200 people who have been wrongfully convicted of murder, rape, or serious offenses since 1989. So one of the things we do is we have to stay informed. So, Aaron, give the listeners and the mothers some information, and then I'm going to start clicking on these callers because this line is blowing up.
Well, in regards to, my case, but even on a broader scale, when we think of, California statewide, when we talk about the documented gang member and how that can be. I think people have a lot of people have they're misdirected and have like false knowledge on how an individual is documented as a gang member. A lot of people think that you have to actually commit a crime to be documented as a gang member. When California's policy called CalGang, there's about 9 different criterias. And you only need 2 to be documented as a gang member. So these criteria are as broad as where a person lives, who they hang out with, the clothes they dress, the areas they frequent, pictures of signs being thrown up, things that actually have nothing to do with actually committing a crime. Then a person can be documented as a gang member. And then once a person has been documented as a gang member, they can be held liable for any crime committed that the police department feels like the gang may have committed, whether they had knowledge of the crime or not, right? And then they can just put you on a pretty much like a conspiracy charge. So there's a lot of our, black and brown men and women in California statewide who are being brought in on a number of different charges due to gang conspiracy cases because they're documented gang members. And they can actually get the sentence as if they committed the crime.
Wow. And you know what? And that is so true. And a lot of individuals don't understand that. Now, I know we're 45 minutes left into the show. Let me log on the first caller that had logged on. And let me add them on. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Your number is in 1597. And what do you have any questions or what do you want to add to this? Okay, they're not saying anything.
I guess that's me, right? Hello?
Okay, yes, 1597. I apologize for having you on hold for so long, but I know we got a lot of callers. So is there anything you want to say, any questions you have or that you want to add to this topic in regards to is justice really for all?
Yes, it is. I would like to know, I would like to ask a question, matter of fact. It's okay, I'm so concerned. It's my grandson we're talking about. This is Linda. And I would like to know, how do we get our voices heard? I know this is one way, but I would like to know how do we can get out there and let them know how wrong the justice system is and how can we get our point across?
One of the ways is peaceful protesting. That's one. Secondly is helping to develop policies and calling your mayors, getting character letters, And I want to say I was watching, and I didn't watch it. I saw somebody post it on, I think it was on Twitter. And Whoopi Goldberg had said something to a judge. You have to change the attitudes, the beliefs, and the perceptions of individuals. See, what we don't realize is there's a lot of money within the prison systems. And they don't view human beings, especially individuals of color, as a human being. They look at them as non-human involved. Now, one of the things and the advantage that I had was I trained in law enforcement at a young age, even though when I tried to become a cop, they wouldn't let me, which I just wanted to know what they needed to know in order to figure stuff out. So then I started studying psychology.
Right.
But by that same token, it gave me the upper hand because I understood the criminal justice system, and sometimes a lot of these deals, a lot of this stuff is happening behind closed doors. And that's why when we look at is it really fair and is justice really for all? Sometimes, and I was even doing my homework with this, there are white individuals that have been wrongfully accused, but most of them were poor. So when we talk about individuals of color, we're not only talking about their race. We're talking about their culture. We're talking about their creed. We're talking about their religious beliefs. We're talking about the socioeconomic status. There's a lot of things that are involved in this. And so what you have to do is educate yourself and let them know, I'm not standing for this no more. You know, I say this even with my son. When my son get in trouble, they will call me. I tell my son, the oldest person I know, that when he get in trouble, they call his mama. Because they're rather for me to deal with him than for them to deal with him because they don't want to hear what I got to say. So that's one way, writing letters and doing it in a way to where you're using more of your intellect than trying to do things to more destroy your community. And, and it was interesting because when Crystal told me, and I said, dang it, I remember you had a child by the stone. And see, sometimes individuals go into what's called a generational curse. And sometimes they just know the name. And when they hear the name, it can become a problem. So you have to warn our children at a very young age. Be mindful of these things. Try to keep your nose clean. And there are sometimes your child may not have done anything. I remember my grandmother used to say, if you keep yourself out of the graveyard, I'll keep you out the penitentiary. And I could truly say I've never been in nothing, no trouble real serious where I had to go to jail or prison, but I never did nothing. But I always knew, my grandmother knew who to call when we did get in trouble. And Lynn, you know, I wasn't one of the best kids in the neighborhood. But you ain't never heard about me being locked up. So it was always who she knew. And that plays a part in it, too. We have to get involved in our communities. We have to. Now, I have another caller.
You do. I agree with that, Jeanette.
Let me lock this person on. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Number ends in 0206. Anything you want to add to this?
Oh, yeah, this is me. This is Christopher's cousin, Erica, and I'm here in Houston, Texas. Yes, I just think it's unfair because they criticize you on basically your background, where you grew up from. They, like I said, they didn't really have enough evidence on him, so they just basically said, well, he's from Compton. He was born and raised over here. And being raised in Compton, that's gang is like, we was born and raised on the street, so they just consider you a that gang member. And yeah, if that gang is like affiliated with like murders or whatever cases that have been done in the past, whatever, they like the new generation, like us as Christopher age, me, I'm like 27. So they put it on us saying that, oh, they're known for doing that. So, yeah, most likely he did it. Without evidence, without saying, without having true facts that he honestly did anything to anybody, which we know he didn't, but I don't know. I'm out here in Texas.
And that's
like,
where you can
I
say discrimination.
Huh?
That's where you can say, that's where you have a ground to find out. Because I'm going to tell you, when Crystal first said Stone, first thing popped up in my head was Orlando Anderson, Tupac. You know, so individuals, that stuff don't go away, and we have to break these generational curses. And that's when you have to stand up, because like I said, I was sharing that with Krista, with my son. Been there, done that. So we have to educate individuals, and we have to let them know. And I remember telling a lawyer one time, I've watched a lawyer try to sell my son out. And I told him, I said, you know what, you got me messed up, I'm not him. I am not the one.
Okay.
And that's when that lawyer knew she ain't playing. Don't worry about paying me, Ms. Abney. Don't worry about it. Because what I did was I learned, and I would go and I would quote penal codes. I would quote case laws. And then they knew I knew what I was talking about. Now, there are things that we're going to get into the show, because I know the show is going to probably go pretty fast. I should have made it longer. But there are things that when we're talking about filing an appeal, and sometimes the appeal can take a while. We got a writ of habeas corpus. You know, there's a lot of different things. But he also, if he's never been in prison before, he's going to have to stand strong. And there's things that he's going to have to know that he's not going to get lost up in the system. Because there's a lot of things that also happen within the prison, too, that many of our African-American and people of color are not aware of. Some look at it as a rite of passage, but it's really not a place for young black men to be. So
it's
let me
not.
Log
and
on.
I just would like to chime in once again regarding Christopher and his name. I understand that there is a stigma, a negative stigma attached to his last name.
Mm-hmm.
However, that does not give a person a right to wrongly convict somebody based on the past of family members. Not only that, there's a lot of good that came out of Christopher Stone in spite of his name. And so I really don't want us to get caught on that. I really want the education and the support and the feedback of the community and the things that you're speaking of, Jeanette, regarding the peaceful rallies and so forth and so
correct.
On. So
and you know
I
what? I said that, Crystal, because sometimes that be what they be looking at. You got to know what you're fighting against. So when you take that and you let them know, there are good things that he's done. There's good things about him. You got to let them know, like people always say, I heard Paula White say it best, I may not be what I want, where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be, and I'm not who you think I am. So those are things we're talking about, breaking generational curses, because you can make a difference, and he can make a difference, but he has to be given a chance.
Right.
So that's why I put it out there, because I know that these are obstacles that are used against people.
Yeah, thank
so,
you.
So, like I said, and I saw it with my own son. My son hadn't seen his father in 22 years and was getting in trouble behind that kind of mess. Let me log on the next caller, and then we're going to give you guys some more information. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Numbers ending in 2476. Anything you want to add to this conversation?
Yes, 2476. My name is Bobby Relaford, and I want to add a few things that I think should have been done with Mr. Crystal's case, and I will be getting with Crystal on it. And first of all, one of them is his due process, and ineffective assistance of counsel. I feel like that's a strong ground for a immediate trial, right?
Because
see, they were supposed to have a suppression hearing, and without that suppression hearing and a capital murder offense, it shouldn't even be admissible, because the suppression hearing is going to suppress all the evidence that they got tangible. See, so right there, if those grounds are relief was put up in a writ right now, he should be able to get a new trial right immediately before he even get the way he's going. Because he's been all the way violated this due process of law, and he was supposed to get that he was pressuring hearing, and that lawyer failed get his duties as effective counseling by not submitting a suppression hearing. If you have evidence, he should ask for a 995 right off the top as soon as he got that in court. He should ask for right, immediate 995 motion of dismissal. He should at least made it reflect on the record. See, because when you don't do them things, those things are not appealable. See, so
correct. It
seems like to me that the court was kangaroo. That's what I looked at. That's why I really look at it, because they posed up all your constitutional rights. And no, I don't feel like his constitutional rights.
And I appreciate you sharing that, because a lot of individuals don't even know what their due process is. A lot of individuals don't even know that just because they said it in court doesn't mean that they can use that evidence. And sometimes there are and have been individuals that have been convicted or found guilty when there wasn't enough evidence. And like I said, that's where you educate yourself.
And that's what I'm trying to, that's why I'm trying to enlighten to Crystal's family and people that's out there that got a supporting system going for them, that know anything about any type of a law, should come together, and he can also come together and do a petition for his rights being violated. And his constitutional rights. His constitutional rights is one of the main major violations that's been violated in Mr. Christopher's case right there. And I'm finna do something about
it. Thank you so much, Bobby. All the people that are on the call, can you please mute your phones? Because we can hear all the background and kids.
Mute
your phone, please. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, I'm taking the calls in order. There's another call, and then I got a call from Sacramento, but I want to know, that one just hung up, and I wanted to know who that one was, too. Okay, let me log on this one. Here's a call ending in 7910. It looks like it's a 916 number from Sacramento. So I'm going
Hi,
this is Jeanette.
Right,
welcome to Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and yourself?
I'm doing well. And what would you like to add to this conversation?
I would like to add that I've known Christopher since he was a young child. He's an outstanding athlete, outstanding personality, a great father, and I just can't understand what happened. I wasn't able to be there, but I will be there for the rally. I don't understand what happened, and I'm looking for answers. And that's why I'm here on this call, trying to get as much information as I can, try to educate myself so I can help my best friend, Crystal, move forward in this proceeding.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Let me add on, because I want to make sure that the callers are being heard. That definitely shows support the way this line is blowing up, is that there is a lot of supporters for Christopher. Okay. Number ending in 5816. Okay. I'm clicking on. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Pressure Predicaments. And what do you want to add to this conversation?
My name is Teddy Green, and I'm like Crystal's brother, and I've known that family for most of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about our black youth. We know for a fact that the black man in America is under siege.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
It's under attack. That is so true.
We know without a doubt that we're not going to get a fair shake.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We look at, all we have to do is look at the way our country is being run. We look at white versus black. We look at how the white man can kill 30 people. He gets arrested, he don't have a scratch.
Mm-hmm.
A black man can get pulled over by a cop, no weapon, no nothing, and get killed.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I totally agree, and we definitely need to do something about that.
Right, and my thing is this, sister, that, we know for a fact that almost every nationality outside of black hate us, and then we hate each other.
Yep, we have to stop fighting amongst each other. Because when we stop the black-on-black crime and they see that we are united, and then they'll know, this is a problem.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something else that I had to learn. We got to learn how to fight differently. We have to learn how to fight the system differently.
And it's a fact that it is known that Christopher did not do that. But who was he really set up by is the question.
Yeah.
Who was he really set up by? That's what hurts me the most. That's what hurts me the most. We know for a fact that Christopher's innocent. But who set him up? So.
Okay, that's a good question. And you know what? And that definitely warrants an investigation. And I'm going to try to log on as many people as I can. And I want to give you guys some information in regards to different individuals like you're talking about, trying to find out who actually committed the crime. Because if a person is deceased, somebody killed him, but who killed him? Yeah. Or you don't want to arrest the person that killed him? What do you know? Because I'm going to tell you, there's really no way that people going to get caught because somebody going to leave something. You got to have some type of evidence.
Let me put
this person on, and last number is 6783. I'm trying to get everyone so they can have a voice. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. And what do you want to add to this conversation? Okay, I guess they don't want to say anything. Let me go to the next caller. Caller ending in 4605. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. 4605, you have something you want to add to this conversation? Okay, I guess they just want to listen. And you didn't have to call in to listen. You could have clicked on the link. Okay, this number ends in 8690. Anything you want to add to this conversation?
I'm just here to support my brother and my family.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, let me log on the next caller to 682 because Crystal's going to have to let us know where to rally and everything is supposed to be because that's very important information. But 2682, you have anything you want to add to this conversation?
That's me, Jeanette. This Gilda.
Okay, so, you went there twice then. Okay, I'm just clicking on and adding the call in as I'm looking at it. 5062. This is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, thank you for having me. My name is Phyllis Johnson. I'm just logging in. I couldn't log in. I'm just on here to support my friend Crystal and trying to get information on the rally.
Okay, because I want her to share that rally too, that information. Okay, let me get them. I'm trying to get the callers in that may have something to share because we don't know who's who.
Okay,
This one just ended in 4901. This is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments. Have something you want to add to the conversation? Okay, now this one. Okay,
yes,
and what would you like to add to the conversation?
I have a couple of questions, actually. I'm wondering, is there what type of resources are available, number one, for perhaps attorneys who specialize in these types of cases that may even take it on pro bono?
I'm going to share some of that information. One of them is, you know, there's people that can go to the ACLU, like when the individual and the gentleman was talking about his due process and the suppression of hearing and filing motions for dismissal. So some attorneys will take cases pro bono. You have the Innocent Project, that they're one. We got the ACLU. And there's some other programs that Aaron may know about. I don't want to be speaking too fast. And sometimes it takes time because you want to file all of these motions for dismissal. And see, he hasn't even been sentenced, and we don't know what the sentence is going to be because there have been cases, if they lack evidence, where a sentence could be probation. We don't know what the sentence may be. So
I know what the sentence is going to be.
Okay, what did they tell you the sentence was going to be?
I don't choose to share, but I know. It's life without parole.
Got you. But remember, it's going to be up to the judge because the judge has the final say. The judge and God, because God can place it up on that man's heart to where you don't know. Because I remember that case of the one with the lady shot a kid in the back, and she shot this kid in the back, and they gave that Korean woman probation. So you never know, but if they seen it, what you want to pray for is that this whole case get turned around. So let me log on this last person. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Purchase Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Last numbers ending in 2476. Anything you want to add to this conversation? Okay, so they hear back on. I'm going to mute that one. Okay, Erin, what do you want to share with the listeners and with Crystal in regards to some programs, some types of resources that are available for individuals? Because we know that in order to fight a case, sometimes it takes money. What is a family to do?
To my knowledge, the only organization I'm aware of that takes on cases like this, well, that specializes in taking on cases like this, is the Innocence Project.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, sometimes big time law firms jump in and try appeals, but I'm mm-hmm. not even that's why I'm deciding to go to law school now myself, because there's not many people out there doing that. So I kind of figured that, you know, that's what I'm going to have to be doing.
And you know what, too? I want to say not only that, Crystal, another thing is starting with some of these law schools. You know, there are some schools that will take on these type of cases because of, you know, with the professor, the students, and they will do the groundwork because that's part of what kind of comprise of the Innocence Project. There's TV shows that are doing shows about individuals. So there's a lot of different things out there. But what happens is a lot of times people get so stressed out and they become so overwhelmed. Now, I have some information, and it indicates what to do if you're falsely accused of a crime in California, and it gives individuals what to do. And like I said before, believe it or not, many individuals are convicted of a crime and ended up in prison who were falsely accused. Now, we talk about that in regards to the California offense, or a false report of a crime is a penal code, too, which is against the law. But false accusation of cases involve the same procedures as all criminal cases. When we're talking about being falsely accused of a crime, it often does not alter the way the case is handled. Now, a defendant should never believe that because he or she is innocent, it has something, or that they have something to hide. There's no need for legal representation. In fact, there is perhaps an even greater need for legal advocacy in a case of an individual who did not do what they were charged with doing. So therefore, when we're looking at that type of stuff, so what should a person do? We already know they plead not guilty because a lot of times people take deals, and they take deals for charges that they know they didn't commit, but they try to get a lesser charge, so we get that. But the one thing we're looking at, we're talking about that, is when individuals or if law enforcement was involved in bringing the false accusations. Now, the gentleman who said, I want to know basically who's behind this, who's covering what, because sometimes, I mean, I don't know much about the victim, and I don't know who the person was, but or the details of the case. So I don't want to misspeak because I didn't get that information from Crystal, because like Crystal said, there's a lot of things she really don't want to, should not say until everything is pretty much laid out on the table, because you don't want to mess things up. But if police or law enforcement is involved in bringing on false accusations, then you could have a claim of false imprisonment or for a civil rights violation, and that's often called under a Section 1983, and actions after the provision of the federal law creating a cause of action. Now, we want to know these different things. Now, there's a number, and there's a law firm, Crystal, you can write this down, and this number is 855-529-3476. And this is to discuss your case confidentially with a California criminal defense attorney near you. Now, you may not need a California defense attorney. You may need an appeals attorney now once everything gets going. Now, I want to also, before we run out of time, Crystal, tell the listeners about the rally that you are having, where you want them to meet, what time, and give us some information in regards to that.
Yes, the Peaceful Rally Prayer Circle will be at the Compton Court Building, which is located 200 West Compton Boulevard in the city of Compton, California, from 9 to about 11. We're just really coming together for prayer and just to stand in unity. It's not so much as a with signs and all of that to you know, because, again, I want to say to the victims, not just this particular case, but victims throughout, you know, my heart and my prayers and my thoughts are always with that side as well, because my family has experienced that side as well. And so I don't want to go just through this without even acknowledging that. However, the purpose and the plan regarding Christopher is to have some type of movement. And I understand other mothers and families that don't have the support and somebody there to hold them up and to push them and to go forth in prayer and so forth. And so I get it. And so if we can start something, a little bit of something that would help somebody else in the process of helping Christopher, you know, I would give all praises to God for that. Also, I have a question for whoever can answer this question. So if a deal was put on the table for Christopher and let's just say he accepted it, would that kind of disregard us going forth into a trial or a new trial or appeal?
Yep, it will. Because what happened is he would have taken a deal, he would have plea bargained. And that's one of the things, and I want to share some information, and that's where a lot of individuals mess up at, especially individuals of color, because they don't understand the criminal justice system, and it's very difficult to file an appeal if you've already taken a deal. And some individuals take deals because they want to get out of jail. They take deals because they get intimidated by the criminal justice system, and they have a prison term, and people say, take it to the box. And they're afraid that if they take it to the box, that they may wind up with more time, because there's a lot of additional things that they can add, either whether it's gang enhancement, whether it's a hate crime, you know, whatever may be involved, or if the person has violated probation and got stuff on top of stuff. So sometimes they take a deal. It depends on what the charges are. Now, I want to share some information, and this is strictly coming from the website in regards to what it's like to be black in the criminal justice system. These 8 charts basically suggest that there are racial disparities in every phase of the criminal justice system. Now, we start talking about that, even though we talk about cases like you shared about your brother. I mean, not your brother. I don't want to throw that out there. But people in your family that have experienced, you know, things of that nature. And a lot of times that happens. But the problem is black Americans are more likely to have their cars searched. And one of the callers said something about that. Black Americans are more likely to be arrested for drug use. Black Americans are more likely to be in jail while awaiting trial, where most people bail out, and that's because we run into financial issues. Black Americans are more likely to be offered plea deals that include prison time. And, you know, and that's sad, because a lot of times they don't even realize that they wind up doing more time because just for simple stuff. Another thing is black Americans may be excluded from juries because of their race, which is interesting because myself and my daughter got jury duty coming up, and I can't wait, even though I get kicked off the jury every time. And black Americans are more likely to serve longer sentences than white Americans for the same offense. Now, these are just some of the things that we're looking at, and black Americans are more likely to be disenfranchised because of a felony conviction. So a lot of times, even when African Americans have served time, they still wind up being disenfranchised because of what happened. And black Americans are more likely to have their probation revoked. And that's just to name a few of some of the things that occur with black Americans or people of color. Now, we have more callers on the line. Let me log them on. This number is ending in 9168. Is there anything you want to add to this topic?
Oh, yes. Hi. My name is Lois Dow, and I'm calling to let Crystal know that we're praying for Christopher. And I am, too, a mother of a child that's incarcerated that
that was wrongfully accused, and they took the box. He took the plea deal, and they gave him a lot of, you know, a lot of sentencing, mm-hmm. a lot of stuff that he didn't do. But anyway, mm-hmm. my heart is out for you, and I want to let her know, and she's a sister to me, and I want to let her know that I will be there after Rowdy to pray with her for support as well.
Mm-hmm. And she's definitely going to need that, definitely going to need that.
Oh, yes.
And a
definitely.
Lot of times, like I said, individuals don't know the lingo, but when they talk about taking it to the box, I mean taking it to the jury. When you take a plea deal, that's not taking it to the box. That's just taking a plea.
Yeah.
Because no matter what, it's still a guilty conviction for the DA. And all they want is that conviction. It's basically what they want.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I learned all of that during the years that he was incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot of stuff that he was incarcerated from, a lot of times, a lot of attorneys and stuff we did because he'd never been arrested before. And he
mm-hmm.
is a father. And it was really hard, devastating. You know, you sometimes just want to just give up because it's so depressing of all the way the court system put those that's not in the system but put you in the
right.
system as well as the child and the person being convicted. And it's really hard.
Correct. Well, you know, I did a show several months ago because one of my cousins did a documentary, and she talked about the mass incarceration of
mm-hmm.
people of color. So if you log on to the episodes that I've done, we provided a lot of information as it relates to the mass incarceration. And not only some of the things that I also forgot to mention is juvenile arrest. We're also finding that many youth of color that are also twice as likely to be arrested for crimes in school were white kids mm-hmm. over 2.5 times or more likely to be arrested for curfew violation as white kids and twice as likely as white kids to be arrested for all crimes and much more likely to be held in detention centers than any other individuals of color. So that's
and
a whole other issue.
You're right. I have seen that myself. I have seen that with my own eyes. I've seen those kind of
mm-hmm.
situations with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled my daughter over that was disabled. She's mentally disabled, and they pulled her over. And thank
mm-hmm.
God I was standing there at the time, and they let her
mm-hmm.
go. See.
And there's a
but,
lot that we don't know. Like you said, we don't
like that.
What we're talking about, and I did another show where I had a police retired police lieutenant on the air with me, a
mm-hmm.
detective, and he was talking about when we talk about kids that are mentally ill or individual
mm-hmm.
mental health issues. Prepared for that. They don't know how to address that. And even
no,
when
they
we
don't.
Look
and there's so many of them in there like that that's disabled. Because I talked to a police officer himself and he said that he wished he could do something about those kind of situations. But there's, you know, they say they just got to follow protocol. That's what the officer
correct.
Told
they
me.
They do have to follow protocol. And I want to say, myself, because I'm only one person. I wish them my counterparts, a therapist, or people would have called in. Because one of the things that I can say about myself is I'm very well-rounded. And I have the ability to not only, because I have court-referred programs, but in addition to working with individuals that have been convicted of crimes, that are in drug programs, I work with parolees, I work with probationers.
Right.
I also get to work with first responders and individuals in law enforcement. And I enjoy educating cops. I'm also attending trainings, and I'm looking at they're trying to do better, not saying everything is perfect, but I'm looking at some classes that I just signed up to go to because I like speaking up and speaking out, and one of them was very impractical to implement change in communities affected by trauma because individuals don't realize how even going to jail is very traumatizing, how even living in communities, there's a lot of trauma. People don't understand that childhood trauma. Another training that I just signed up to go to, and people, if they are interested, and it's free, culturally insensitive delivery in services for victims of color. And that's going to be in Coronado on October the 9th. So we have to do better. I always say when you know better, you do better. So I try to do my part by putting the information out there and educating individuals, whether it's either by doing therapy, by working with families, by trying to link them with the right play people. I keep seeing that I need to come open up an office in Compton, but right now I already have five locations. I'm in Fullerton, Garden Grove, Huntington Beach, Oceanside, and Marietta, and I'm on the radio 2 days a week. So I'm just spread it all over the place, but I'm doing my best because I'm being obedient to God. And I don't forget where I came from because I'm straight out of Compton. So let me log this
next
caller right here. The number's ending in 4605. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. What do you want to add to this conversation?
Hi, I'm from Texas. This is Mika, Erica's best friend. I'm just here for support. So anything that you need from me, Crystal, or as far as my part, I'll do my part, and I'm praying for you guys.
Thank you.
All right, let me add on this caller, which is ending in 2476.
Yes, this is Bobby Relliford again at 2476. Again, I want to send my condolences to the family once again, but there are some things that, Crystal, that I have been researching on my own, and I will get with you on it. And
okay, I'll follow up with you. We're going to let somebody else get on that hasn't, but I'll get with you, Bobby. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Let me log on this caller, 6872. Is there anything you want to add to the show?
Yes. This is Eric, Christopher, little cousin. Call me Bobo. I actually spoke to Christopher a while back, not too long ago. And it kind of like, I could tell he always been very strong, like athletic strong, mental strong, a good heart. He don't hurt nobody. But I spoke with him and he was, I could tell he was kind of trying to be a little strong for me, you know. And the thing is, I want everybody to be strong for him because he need us more than anything, you know. And my every day been different just from the news, from when I heard the news, just every day, like just with my baby. Christopher have a daughter. We both have a daughter. And it just gave me focus on everything, just everything in life, on job, on intelligence, on education, on my daughter, on being there, because it's very important on us young men because they want to take us away. They want to take us away from our mothers and our fathers, you know, and our grandmothers. You know, we have to be disciplined as well because they will have us in a box. Not actually the box. We will be in the box, in a hole, and be stuck and fighting and praying to Jesus to get us up out of there, you know. Which is we already pray to him every day, and I know we are his sons. But at the end of the day, we have to be disciplined within ourselves for we can stay out of this situation. And he have our prayers, and he's strong, and we know he's innocent, and God going to make a way for him. And I want all the young men to keep praying that we will be at that rally leading for him. Youngsters, all the young men, it don't matter what race you is, Hispanic, Asian, Black, Philippines, it doesn't matter. Be there for support because it's dope and this boy is innocent. And I pray, Lord, that we be free him, Lord. Thank you.
Okay. All right, let me add on the next caller, ending in 9024. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. What do you want to add to this conversation? Okay. They have it shedding. Okay, it's kind of break. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney, number ending in 9024.
Oh, no, I just called from a different line. My phone died, so I just called from a different line. You can go ahead and skip me. Hello?
Got you. Okay, all right. Crystal, what I want to say is a lot of times when you go to court, all these individuals that are blowing up this line and having their support, not only do you need to have them at your rally, you need to have them in the courtroom during sentencing. You're also going to have some strong character letters. Those character letters are going to be very important. So that means getting letters from teachers, getting letters from if he's employed, getting letters from, because they will have him basically, you know, go through like a probation review and all that other stuff. So you want to make sure you have all of that, those letters. That's going to play a role too. And then once you hear what they say, and then that's when you have to start your appeal process, your writ of habeas corpus. Now, it sounds like he's been in custody this whole time. I'm not sure because I know you didn't give me the details of the case. But has he been in
Correct.
Custody or has he been out? He's been in custody.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he has.
Now, they're also going to be taking into consideration, too, what type of inmate has he been since he's been in custody? You know, you want to make sure that when he goes in that he's mentally strong, that he's not, because you know they got in-house snitches. They got all of these individuals trying to get information. So, you know, you want to make sure that he knows that you guys know that he, you love him, you care for him. There are support and information for family members of individuals that are incarcerated. I hear that he has children. There's organizations and programs that also work with the children of parents who are incarcerated. There's a lot of information. Now, you spoke with Brandy Devon, and she wasn't able to be on the line with us because she said she was going to be out of town. And she gave me the information of another attorney. I don't know if he was able to connect with this attorney. But part of what you're doing right now is kind of like a waiting game, protesting, putting things on people's mind and putting things in people's heart. Because as we know, justice is not for all. We know that. And by showing up and showing out and doing it in a way that's respectful and peaceful, people have to listen. And like I said, you have to learn how to fight differently. One of the things that I learned how to write a letter. That's when you start writing individuals like Al Sharpton. That's when you start writing the Attorney General's office. So once you start getting individuals at that magnitude, looking at some of the things that are happening within our inner cities and our communities, that's when it starts to make a difference. And also contacting the mayor. I don't know if you've contacted the mayor. So these are individuals where you start, and that's how change is implemented. That's how they're going to be the one that's going to be behind the scene making these phone calls as when they come to sentencing. That's what's going to make a difference.
Okay.
We have 3 minutes left on the show. Anybody else want to say something, and then we're going to let Crystal close it out?
Hello?
Yeah, hello, this is Dupree.
Yes, Dupree.
I just wanted to say that, yeah, because I know for a fact that he's innocent, and you know, I can't give up too much information over this phone like this, but you know, like I said, you get a hold of Maxine Waters or somebody, Crystal. You know, you gotta do some footwork. You gotta talk to some people in some high places.
That's where it starts. It starts writing letters, yeah. Making phone calls, and you just don't give up. And like I said, that's how it is with my son. And Dupree, you know who my son is. Because they know I ain't playing. So you got to write letters, and you got to let them know I know what I'm talking about. And then they will believe you. And that's how it starts. Now, we have 2 minutes left on the call. Thank you for calling Dupree. I didn't even know you was on there. Crystal, what do you want the listeners to know?
That's right.
And you told them when the rally was going to be. You told them the time. What other information do you want to give them, as we have like a minute and a half left on the show?
Okay, can you please mute your phone, who's ever on the phone, on the call? I just want everybody to know that we appreciate all the prayers and all the support. If you could please continue to post, if you can continue to repost, a comment on every time you see a post regarding it, go to the website. If you could donate, I don't care if it's a dollar, donate, support the rallies and the fundraisers that will be coming up. Also, you asked a question regarding what type of inmate is he currently. Since he's been in there, he has been a positive role model to younger guys that are coming in there. He has been faithful in the program that he has created since he's been in there. Also, regarding the rally on Thursday, again, it's just more of a peace. We don't really have to make a lot of noise, but the presence and the volume of people is going to speak louder than we need to speak. So, I thank you guys.
Well,
again.
You do have to make noise, and like I said, you fight differently because action speaks louder than words. When they see you showing up in numbers, they see that it's peaceful. You write letters. That's how you make noise. That's how you rattle the minds of individuals to let them know we're not having this. Now, Crystal, if someone wanted to contact you, because you said on the website, how can they contact you? Because I have people listening in other different in other countries too, because I have a very large following. So how can they contact you?
My contact information is 909 area code 910-2546. My email is Crystal, CHRISTAL, dot Sterling, STERLING, the number 1@yahoo.com.
Okay. I want to thank you guys for listening, and thank you for supporting Crystal as she is trying to have her son set free from a murder and a crime that he did not commit. If you're not able to reach Crystal, you want to get in touch with me, you could do so. I will pass the information on to Crystal. As you know, you can email me at jabneylmft@gmail.com, and I will definitely pass the information on. Now, tomorrow I will be on, as we're talking about, from the pulpit to the couch, as I will be along with Pastor Dennis Dell from Higher Dominion Worship Center, and we're going to be talking about the pitfalls of being a Christian. Even as a Christian, we're also under conviction, and it seems like, too, Crystal, the stronger we are in our Christian walk, sometimes when the enemy can't get you, they'll attack your loved ones. So you
wow.
make sure you stand strong in faith, too. And that's another thing, you get churches involved. So we're going to be talking about those pitfalls at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Until tomorrow, remember, you got this. Bye-bye, Crystal. And stay in touch,
bye,
Crystal.
Jeanette. Thank you.
Okay, I'll see you
thank
guys
you.
This Saturday. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you,
Jeanette. You're welcome. Bye-bye.